and talk to you just a little bit this morning about the big picture. Oftentimes it's easy, if you would like to turn in your Bible, you'll start in Genesis chapter number 45. Oftentimes we get started in this thing called the Christian life, and thank you, Brother Mike, I appreciate that. That's funny, a former warrant officer in the Navy is having people do things for him, and now you're doing stuff for us. That's a blessing.
Amen.
To get Chief Man to help us with that, we'd be in great shape. I appreciate that. You know, oftentimes what happens to you is in the Christian life, you get started on the Christian life, and rightfully so, it should focus on you in the beginning. Right? Your relationship with the Lord, how to get things right with the Lord. You should learn some doctrinal things and stuff like that. I mean, that's a fair statement. And then it begins to recognize you're actually a part of something bigger than just yourself. You're a part of more than just 3857 Hartley Road, which I might tell you, even way out in Montana, not far from the Canadian border, a long way from here, way out there. There are a lot of people that know a whole bunch of you by name, though they've never met you. But they see you, or at least the back of your head, on a regular basis. And they know some of you by name. They know some of you by your amens and those kind of things. But oftentimes what happens is, we forget we're simply a cog in the wheel. We're, to use the naval term, we're simply part of a battle group. We're not the aircraft carrier. We're not the battleships. We're not all the other ones that are in there. We're just part of a bigger thing that's going on. And oftentimes we wind up getting somewhat territorial, somewhat cliquish, somewhat clannish, and we begin to think we're the only dog in the fight. And the fact of the matter is we do have an impact and an imprint on other people, not just here locally in Duval County, but also across the nation. More importantly, across the world, not just because of what we do, but everything that we do has an impact. Just as if you were to smash your pinky, it would affect your entire body. So also, when a person or an individual in the body of Christ is wounded, hurt, damaged, whatever it may be, it affects everybody that's involved. It doesn't just affect, you can't just take that upon yourself. I mean, Paul says, they say, sit with them that sit, weep with them that weep in Jeremiah, and rejoice with them that rejoice. I mean, there's a time to rejoice, Ecclesiastes 3 tells us, but there's also a time to be sad. And there's a time that you have to share not just the good times, but also the bad times. Can I say this without being too offensive? Everyone in here is going to have a season where they are not at their best. And I know you think that that'll never be me. Everybody in here is going to have a time when they're not at their best. They're going to drop the ball. They're going to do or say something stupid. And what I want to try to show you today is to just kind of prepare you, but also to kind of try to overstuff you with this thing called grace. Learning how to not be tolerant of people that are doing wicked and godly things, but to let the Lord take care of hanging them. You don't have to worry about putting a rope around their neck. It doesn't do your reputation any good to be the executioner. There's probably very few parents in here who have had kids that have been stellar their whole life. I guarantee you at some point your kids may break your heart. But they're still your kids. You don't cut them out of your family. I know you're thinking I'm compromised. No, I'm not. I'm saying some things are better. So if here's the thing. If it happens to the body of Christ, the Lord's the head. Sometimes, unless you're put in a position to have to do something, why don't we just pray for them and let God handle it?
Amen.
Doesn't that take some pressure off of you?
Yes,
yeah, whacked out as a soup sandwich. What are you going to do about it? I'm going to pray about it. Amen. Well, are you going to do something? No, I'm going to pray about it.
Amen.
I'm not going to move till I pray.
Amen.
Boy, if I could, man, the mistakes I've made that could have been avoided if I'd have took time to pray.
Amen.
If I'd have just stopped and prayed before I put my mouth in gear. I've even had that happen at home sometimes. It comes out. I know it's coming. I can see it coming. And the Lord's going, shut up, shut up, shut up. And then it's out there and it's like, oh. And yeah, too late now. Down the primrose path, right? All right, look at this, if you will, please. You're probably familiar with the story. I'm just going to use some illustrations. This has to do with Joseph and his brothers. And this has to do with after He has now revealed himself to his brothers, and he's given them a change of raiment, and they thought he was going to kill them, and he's forgiven them, and they're back in fellowship, and he's been feeding them and all that. The silver cup's already been in the croaker sack, and so on and so forth, and Benjamin's been held, and Reuben's been held, and all the things that have transpired and taken place. You're now at the end of that story, and they're fixing to go get Daddy and bring him to Egypt. That's where you are at this point. Joseph, when he's getting ready to send his brothers back to pick up his daddy and all the things that are coming to Egypt to be prepared during the time of famine, Joseph says this, verse number 24, and it's very telling. This is one of the laws in the Bible of first mention, that all the way back to the days of Cain and Abel, that there are problems among brothers. It's no different nowadays. There's problems among brothers. And you don't have physical brothers or sisters, but you have spiritual brothers and sisters. Amen. I know, touchy subject. I know it's like, man, you're like drilling for the nerve this morning, preacher. But okay, well, just wait. Brother Roger's going to turn on the air for you in just a second. Verse 24. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, now, make sure you don't forget your socks and your underwear when you come back, and don't forget the cows and the sheep when you come back, and make sure that you know you get Daddy, you know he's old, and put him in the cart the right way, and make sure he has a first class ticket, and you guys can ride steerage or, you know, cow class or whatever it may be, but make sure you, of all the things that one of the wisest men, and in about 152 particulars, a type of Christ, of all the things that he could, one of the wisest men ever been around, second in the then known world kingdom, most powerful man next to the king himself, Pharaoh himself, is this man. Of all the things he could do to impart wisdom, you know what he says to his brothers? See that you fall not out. Oh, bye. The way. You guys are headed back. See that you don't fall out with each other on your trip back. Brother Larry, you pray. Ask God to help us. Would you please?
Lord, we're getting about this morning. A lot's already been said. And we thank you for it. Even in what preacher said and mentioned, Lord, those that are listening in this morning, even we never thought too much about it, but from another time zone, be able to listen before their church begins. I pray, Lord, for help for them as well as us. And God, we just thank you for this meeting. We thank you for each meeting, God, that you allow us to be in here. We thank you for this church, and we thank you for our preacher. And I thank you, Lord, that most of all we have a common ground. We have Jesus Christ, Lord, our great salvation, God, that has been provided for us, Lord, this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can call on you. And we thank you that we have an ear with you always, Lord. Thank you for prayer. Lord, thank you for being able to pray. Thank you for having enough of a sound mind, God, to recognize and hear the Word of God with our hearts this morning. Lord, to take it in and make it useful in our life, to adhere to it. Be with your man now as he stands and preaches and opens his mouth. Give him the very words he needs that will be directly from you. Help nothing to go amiss. Please remove any distractions. And begin with me, God, anything that may distract this service. I pray, God, that you would take care of that right now. We give you all the glory for what's said and done. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Don't you find it telling of all the things he could tell them? He said, don't fall out. You know what he warns us about in the last days? He says that in the last days, many will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and many shall depart from the faith. He also warns you in the book of Galatians, he says, who did hinder you? He says in Galatians chapter number 6, he said, be not weary in well-doing. He repeats himself even to the church at Thessalonica, a very spiritual church. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, around verse 13 there, he says the same thing. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't you recognize that as the clock ticks down and things get more and more concentrated and you get more and more fatigued with doing right, that during that time of weariness is when the devil likes to formulate his attack. What people don't realize is that Joseph and his brethren have been in and out of jail. They've been looking for things, traveling back and forth, looking for food, trying to sustain life, talking back and forth, let alone carrying the burden of a lie. carrying the burden in their mind of a murder. No, they sold him into slavery and those kind of things, but in their mind, man, they still got that guilt. That's a heavy weight. That burden of something I should have let be lifted at Calvary is a heavy weight to try to carry yourself. Hey, when you mess up, fess up, but don't stop there. Get up. The devil wants to let that weight of that sin just press you down, push you down, wear you out, exhaust you. Listen, it's a lot easier to walk without a backpack than it is to carry one. And so I want to try to encourage you. I want to try to strengthen you. But I want to also try my best to sort of prepare you to understand that in the last days, you're going to get tired. Remember when you first got saved, it's almost like you had this spiritual spizzarinctum. You had this adrenaline dump that it didn't matter how many times you came to church and who taught what class or somebody would get up and preach. And it didn't matter if you'd heard the old preacher preach the same message 15 times. You could get a blessing out of anything. Remember somebody would get up and they'd sing and it'd sound like two styrofoam lids running together and you'd just be like, man, that was really good. Sounded a little bit like Flipper, but that was pretty good. And you would just get excited, boy, because you were in church and you were so happy to be relieved from the burden of sin. But then you grew. And with that growth came an education. And guess what? You found out all the Christian people were not what all they claimed to be. Before you thought they were all saints and you didn't believe that angels had wings, but you thought certainly they got halos. Right? And then the devil would come and what he would do is the devil, that critical spirit would come in and he'd say, you know, I've been to heaven before. And, oh, you have? You've been to heaven? Boy, it's wonderful. And, oh, yeah, it's a wonderful place. And, boy, Michael and Gabriel, yeah, I know Mike. I know Gabriel. Yeah, I've seen all them and things like that. But, you know, I noticed the other day their halo was a little cockeyed and they came out there and it seems to me there's a little bit of dust, little tinge. That choir director up there, you know, the way he leads the music, just a tinge off key, just a little bit. You know, it's not, I mean, I'm not saying heaven's not a great place. I'm just saying, you know, it's not perfect. Boy, how we can get after we're saved for a while and all of a sudden we start noticing more the imperfections and forgot all of our imperfections. And then all of a sudden, under the guise of being let down because somebody did whatever they did, there's a plethora of things you can list to do that. All of a sudden, it's to magnify all the things that were done wrong instead of magnifying Jesus. Amen. It doesn't matter what the devil uses to replace the Lord's image. He doesn't care if there are so many stars in the church that you can't see Jesus. He doesn't care who's shining as long as it's not Jesus shining. And you know what can generally tarnish that more than anything? All of us, preachers included, pastors included, Bible school students included, Sunday school teachers included, musicians included, pew sitters included, all Christians included, we can develop that kind of a sort of, well, just off a tinge. I don't want to live next to them in eternity. I don't want to live next door. I hope the Lord changes them completely because can you imagine living next door to the people that have a critical spirit all the time? That's what the devil does. He's critical of everything. Everything that's off key, every bad note, every time somebody does the slightest little thing that's not perfect, you know, the devil is there to point out, look what they did. Look, did you see what they did? Did you see it? Look at it. See, the devil loves to magnify imperfection. Now, my Savior does this. He's like, yeah, he's got imperfections, but they're under the blood. Yeah. And yeah, you know what? He is the worst dog in the litter, no question, but he's my dog. And I realize he's got all kind of mange and all kind of other stuff. And hey, there's no question he's got a little problem with a default between his ears. Amen. But he's my dog. And I like him. When I get up to heaven, it won't be because I'm purebred. But it will be because on the bottom of my birth certificate will be my Father's name. And so one of the things that happens is that the old preacher used to say, you know, one of the things that benefits you, and my daddy used to say this, he said, it'd be good for you if you're going to be a pastor. You got to be blind in one eye and you can't see out of the other. I thought, that's pretty good marriage advice. Or not. Look, if you will, let me just walk you through this story here. I'll just give you a couple of illustrations and hopefully you'll understand the point. And you understand Joseph is a great type of Christ through here. Notice the Bible says in verse number 4, Genesis 37, verse number 4, the brethren saw their father loved him more than all his brethren. And what was their response? Verse 4. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you. Genesis 37, first book in the Bible. It's on page 53 in my Bible if you've got an old Scofield. All right? All right, notice. Genesis chapter 37. Look, if you will, please, verse 3. Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of an old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw the father loved him more than his brethren, they what? How about that? And what? Could not? Oh, can I say, first of all and foremost, that it's real important to not be discouraged, not be upset by the destructive criticism of other people. The Bible says they moved on Joseph for envy's sake. Was it Joseph's fault his daddy liked him? Was it Joseph's fault that the Lord gave him dreams to dream and then he was fool enough to tell him? He didn't know any better. They said, well, what'd you dream? Well, everybody you tell a dream to thinks that they're going to be in the dream somewhere, or they wouldn't want you to tell the dream. So then they find out it's not about them, and all of a sudden it gets reversed, and he's like, well, you know, I was out there and all these little stacks and sheaves of wheat that are out there, and there's one over here, and there's 12 over here, and the 12 bowed down to the one. Really, Joseph? Every one of them is thinking like you are. Okay, well, you guys are bowing down to me. And they said, okay, Joseph, settle it for us now. Who is the sheep that's everybody's bowing down? Joseph said, well, it's me. Oh, Joseph, we're going to stick you in the eye with a fork. And he goes back to sleep. The Bible said they hated him. And listen, they couldn't speak peaceably to him. I would say this, and I would just maybe have you to consider it. They wouldn't be charitable to him. He's their brother. Of all people, shouldn't he be charitable to your brother? They can't speak peaceably to him. Do you have anybody in your life that's saved, born again, blood washed, in the body of Christ like you are, but you can't speak peaceably to them or about them? Must be, because all of a sudden everybody went. The Bible says love your enemies, and the Lord must think that enemies are better for us than friends are, because He gives us so many of them. Sometimes we have enemies because we're stupid. Sometimes we have enemies because we do bad stuff, but sometimes we have enemies because we're doing right. That's okay. It's all right. You can't make friends with everybody. The Lord had enemies too. You understand that. But listen, he goes back to sleep and wakes up the next morning. What's your dream now, Joey boy? Well, Daddy says, yeah, go ahead. Tell us about it, son. Well, there's up there in heaven and there's a star and there's all these other stars and oh, yeah, well, let us guess. The 12 stars bowed down to the one. Now, Dad is mad. Because the brethren, for envy's sake. Now, again, let me ask you this. Think about this for a second. They're moving against him, speaking against him, but it's not his fault. What did he do wrong? You can't find where he did anything wrong. Okay, maybe he shouldn't have told the story. Well, you know that after he told the story, but you'd have been one of the 12 going, tell me about it. Yeah. Until he told you about it, then it's like, oh, so you think you're the bride at every wedding, the corpse at every funeral. You think you're the big shot. You think you're the big everything. The Bible said for envy's sake, it's the same reason they moved against the Lord. It's the same reason many people who never even knew who the Lord was moved against Him, because He was getting the attention and they wanted the attention. Can I say this? Envy is a direct result, or it comes from a root of jealousy. Yes. The people that you generally talk about, if it was you in their position, you would love it. You would think it's the greatest thing in the world. And you wouldn't care if people hated you. But you know what will happen? Your enemies will be somebody that you're jealous of and you're envious of, because they're getting something you think you deserve. And so all of a sudden, they got a coat. Where's my coat? He only made one. Listen, ERA wasn't around then. There were no equal rights amendments. Daddy did whatever Daddy wanted to do, and there ain't one for everybody. Everybody was not a winner. Everybody was not on top. Joseph comes as the son of his old age. All of the other ones are older. It looks like they should be the heir apparent to the throne. And all of a sudden, Joseph winds up getting all the attention. Can I say this as carefully, but as vehemently as I know how to put it? In the Christian life, you're going to have enemies even in the church. But it don't make it right. Matthew chapter number 18, which is generally, don't turn there, but generally it's just completely disregarded. Now some of you are going to feel like, can I get that bag out of the seat in front of me? Which, by the way, it's really weird. They took that away during COVID. Like, oh, but you had a mask on, so I guess you just throw up in your mask. Really, you flew during COVID. You know how it is. You got a mask on. It is so much better to fly without that stinking mask on. I mean, really. Of course, I did go through, and the lady said to me, she said, well, you know, some people, it's good. They really enjoy having the mask. But for those of us that have to see you, you might have looked better with a mask on, you know. And I'm like, well, I don't blame you. I would put like M&Ms in my mask and eat it like a feed bag. It kind of cuts the corner because it's like if you take your mask off, they're like, put your mask back on as soon as you put something in. So it's this all the time. You get them confused and then you put the M&M in there with the mask up and then it falls on the floor. And then you're like, no, COVID! The hazmat suits come out and they're spraying it down and all that kind of stuff. And if it dares roll underneath the seat because you're at an incline, oh my goodness, people are jumping up on the chairs and they're hiding for the M&Ms down there because it might have come from the individual that has it on the disease because the germ can roll off of an M&M. Oh, I love flying so much better without that mask, but now the barf bags are back. Now look, I'm a little bit observant. I'm thinking, well, why didn't you have them on there during COVID? And then I was like, oh, I know why. So we have plenty of masks so that if that happens to you, you understand what happens. But here's the deal. In our churches nowadays, there shouldn't be enemy. There's enemy. There should be union. Matthew 18, you know what he does? He gives you some instruction. Here's what he says. He says, if your brother offends you, go to the brother. If you've been offended, go to your brother. Fix it. And if they won't hear you, then you should care enough about it. Either one, let it go or get somebody else and say, hey, we got to fix this thing. Boy, that's old school. That ain't going nowhere nowadays. And then if you can't do that, if it's such a big deal, then you have to bring it before the church. But then here's what he does. And this verse is quoted all the time as if you do this, that the Lord is going to be in the midst. It's not just two or three gathered together in my name and that's across the board. In context, it's two or three that have now reconciled the problem. Here's where it comes to. You're not that interested in seeing Jesus if it means you got to reconcile the problem. That can even be with your wife or your husband. Two or three. Sometimes in our house, kids gone, grandkids aren't there. There ain't but two in there. The third one won't come in there if me and her are going at it. Lord's like, she offended you? Did you offend her? Well, sit for tat, Lord. She for in and out of that. And the Lord's like, mm-mm. And then guess what happens? In our house, the Holy Ghost is vacant. There's still a ghost there, but the holy ain't around. I know this doesn't happen in y'all's houses. Y'all are like, oh, not us. I mean, it's just blissful all the time and peaceful and all that. Ours is too, as long as He gives us peace. But when He ain't there, He brings a sword. And the next thing you know, it's stick and jab and cut and slice. It don't happen often. Help me a little bit, man. You're just like, let me flap in the breeze. Help me. And the next thing, it's just as much me as her. It ain't always her. Most of the time. But no, I'm just saying. Aren't y'all glad you're not married to me? It's like, I wouldn't put up with that for 1 minute. Thank God I'm not married to you. I wouldn't have put up with you for 1 second. But here's the thing that's a misnomer, that even when you're doing right, guess what? Somebody's going to criticize you. I just heard the other day, I said in the middle of a message just while I was preaching, I do it all the time, I don't think about it. I just said, hey, the old preacher, I said it a few times. I was talking about him preaching in the prison, I used a prison illustration, and he came up and the first thing the guy said to me was, you know, I like him, but I don't agree with him in everything. And I thought, oh, in the old day, I would just slap you into eternity right now. And I'm fighting back and I'm going, Lord, help me, Jesus, help me. Keep my right hand tied. But I could still get that. I mean, I'm thinking, why did you have to? He's dead. Why do you have to say that? Why, when a preacher gets up and does his best, do you have to go, well, he misquoted, Jesus wept. Okay, you're next. We'll go ahead and criticize you as much as you... Nobody's fully matured yet. Nobody's fully grown yet. God bless your hearts. You have stuck with me for over 30 years now. But if we roll the clock back about 20 of those, you're like, oh, help me, Jesus. But you stuck with it. And the Lord grew us together. And I hope I'm making less mistakes now than I used to make. But I gave you plenty of ammunition in the past. Oh, tons of ammunition. Out of my own mouth. Can I say first and foremost of all, don't be surprised when even your brothers, that's who they are critical of you. It goes with the territory. You got a coat. Somebody's jealous of it. The Lord's hand on you. Is it all right? The Lord's hand on Brad. He handles the treasury. Don't be envious of that. Say, Lord, be wind in his sails and undergird him. Be like Aaron and Hur and strengthen him. Don't say, well, how come he gets to do the treasury? Why don't I get to do it? Because you're a thief, that's why. Don't be trying to envy what somebody else is doing. Hey, if God gets on a preacher and God's using the preacher, thank God God's using somebody. Help them and encourage them. You have people that come here from all over during Jubilee. You'll hear 20 or 30 preachers. And guess what? Not all of them are established, skillful like our guys are. They don't get the chances our guys do. And guess what? They kind of, well, tell me what the preaching order is, preacher. Why? So you can pick your favorite? No. I ain't telling you. Because if I find out who your favorite is and I know you're going to be here, I'm going to put in the one you hate the most. Because he'll probably be the one that will give you the most. You probably like that guy because he always makes you look good. Oh, I got to hurry. Look in the passage. The Bible says that they're now moving against him. Can I say this? You come on down. Look, if you will, in verse number 17. He's going to help. Verse 11 is the passage on envy. Come down to verse number 17. Joseph is going after his brethren. Verse 16, verse 17. They're down in Dothan, Alabama. Amen. Brother Russell's not here. He'd tell you right where it is. It's where you turn up 231 to go over toward Andalusia. They're over there in Dothan. And went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to what? Holy cow, you got to be kidding me. There's a conspiracy against a guy who's just going to feed them. He's bringing them some cheese and some wine and some bread. He's coming to feed them. And guess what? They see him coming from afar off. And you know what they say? Let's kill him. Don't be surprised if there's not a conspiracy to destroy you. And all you're trying to do is do right. And don't be surprised if when they conspire, you don't wind up in a pit. Amen. Jeremiah wound up in a pit. Elijah wound out in a plight. I've got to think of another P in just a minute, but I'll get it. But listen to me. He's coming to feed them. He has yet to do anything wrong. How many people do you conspire against? They've yet to do anything wrong. But you get caught up in the conspiracy. And we're going to... Yeah. Yeah. Joseph is our problem. Can I just take the hit there? The preacher's our problem. Y'all aren't that way. Please don't take it personal. I'm saying that so often it's, yes, the preacher. Yeah, it's the deacons. Oh, it's the trustees. Oh, if I was Brother Sam, I wouldn't have had them sing that song. It's the song leader.
Yeah. Come on.
You say, what is that? You're conspiring. And all they're trying to do is help. You ever sit down at the dinner table and before long the conversation turns into something so petty? See Mitch and Tracy up there? What you reckon they're trying to do? Take over the fellowships? You know, they ain't run that by me yet. Preacher just likes Mitch. Treats Tracy like a daughter. I don't know about all that. Just seems to me, literally just trying to feed you chicken. That's easy, ain't it? And before long, you're like, preacher, I'm just trying to help. People are talking about me. Part of it's because of who you're associated with. Sorry. There's prejudicial people here. It has nothing to do with skin color. But because you're Joseph, and God's decided to put His hand on you, and God's decided to use you,
amen.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Guess what happened? They're going to conspire. Try to knock you off the pedestal. It'd be so much better if you'd work at getting on the pedestal. But you spend so much time trying to be George Washington and cut down the cherry tree. If you would spend half the energy that it takes you to cut somebody else down with trying to elevate Jesus Christ, you might be surprised. You might be. But I think what you're afraid of is you're afraid they'll talk about you the way you've been talking about them. That's what I really think. I can't lie to you. I'm just telling you, I think that's what happens. Well, you know what happens? Don't be surprised they conspire and the Lord lets them get away with it. Why doesn't the Lord smack them cross-eyed? Because the Lord's thinking about the big picture. Oh, you mean He has a purpose in the pain for Joseph? The Lord's perception is different than our perception. He's even allowing Joseph to go through some really bad stuff. Are you with me? Am I right in the passage? And the Lord knows he's in bad stuff, but he has a bigger goal in mind.
Amen.
I could stop right here and I could give you this as an invitation. When was the last time you got your eye off the big picture? It's so easy. You can take your finger and hold it out here, but the closer that finger gets to you, you know what begins to happen? All your focus gets on that finger, and you get it too close, you can't see nothing but your finger. And that's all that matters. And you've lost sight of the big picture. What are we trying to do? Well, preacher, we're trying to be the one that wears the coat. Or are we trying to be what God wants us to be for the benefit of others? Can I remind you toward the end of the story, Joseph winds up being the one God puts His hand on and fixes it where He does feed the others. But you have a picture. It's strange. Because in that passage, the first time He comes to feed them, you know what they say? Man, I don't want your food. He's going to kill you.
Yep.
Reuben steps in. You know what winds up happening? There's this huge conspiracy. There's this devious conception of how can we fix this thing and spin it in such a fashion to kill somebody who's innocent. It's a type of Christ. And they say, I know what we'll do. We'll wind up selling him. Oh, isn't it easy to get discouraged based on circumstances?
Yeah.
You lose sight of the big picture. Do you know what Joseph thinks? I'm in a pit. If that was me, I'll tell you what I'd be thinking right now. I'm in a pit. I'll never get out. I'm going to die. There's no bread in the pit. There's no water in the pit. They don't care about me. They're going to let me shrivel up here and die. I'm going to be skin and bones, and I'm going to die right here. I mean, dying of starvation. If you've ever seen that, man, that is a painful way to go. If that was me, you know what I'd be thinking? They throw him in a pit. And now they're conspiring on what are they going to do? They're going to leave him in the pit. You know what happens? His well-meaning, his intentions, his obedience to his father, the blessings that had been given to him from above in the big picture were greeted with people that hated him and people that envied him and people that conspired against him. And now he's down in a pit and he's going to die. and he gets a reprieve. But it's a short one because he goes from being in the pit to being a prisoner. Well, I guess that's better than dying in the pit. But isn't it easy sometimes to let our circumstances determine our attitude? You ever been there? Preacher, I'm so low I could eat whale poop out of the bottom of the ocean. I'm so low I could crawl out underneath the threshold. I wish that sometimes some of you would be a little bit incentivized by crack. And some crackheads I know that they're all the time talking about, man, I am so high, I feel like I could jump off the Empire State Building. Man, I am so high, I feel so good. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, the whole world is tulips and roses. Everything is absolutely wonderful. I realize it is a short time, but it would be great to have some Christian crackheads to say, hey, I'm not low, I'm high, I feel good. God's been good to me. Wouldn't it be a blessing if when we went to the Lord and said, gimme, 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 we said, Lord, thank you, 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 thank you. Wouldn't that be a blessing if when the Lord's like, here He comes again, man, you know what I know? I know if I'm saying thank you all the time, Lord, like, Gabriel, could you bring me something to give Him? He ain't asking for more. He's thankful for what He's got. He just keeps telling me, thank you. Could you, I can't shut Him up. Back up that dump truck. We limit God because it's like, Lord, give me. And the Lord's like, why don't you just be thankful for what you got. I'll take care of your needs. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread.
Amen.
Lord, I'm so low. I'm lower than I could possibly. I'm like a snake on his belly. Just can't handle it no more. Press down. Boy, I tell you what. Joseph goes from the pit to the prison. Everybody's preached on it. And now things are starting to go good. God's blessing him even in prison. That's a blessing. He's falsely accused in Potiphar's house. You say, well, he's not really prison. Well, he's like a parolee that's on parole before he ever got to prison because Potiphar was the captain of the prison. I thought you were getting out of sync there, preacher. No, I got it. Just give me a second. I'll get to it. Comes up there and he says, well, what about you? He said, the God I love and the God I serve is going to take care of me. He said, all right, I'm going to put you in charge of a little thing. And Joseph says, do you know who I am? I'm born in the old age of Jacob, the patriarch of Israel. I got a special coat. Really? Where is it? Well, it's at the house, or my brothers have put sheep's blood on it and giving it to my daddy, but I had a coat, and I was special, and I did have a dream, and I was that in my father's eyes. How dare you treat me like this? No, Joseph's like, beats the fire out of being in the pit. What you want me to do, boss? You know anything about taking care of sheep? Matter of fact, I do. Everything Joseph touched, God blessed. And all of a sudden, he's the Potiphar. He can't be stupid. And he sure ain't spending much time with his wife because she's... Anyway, he recognizes, man, this guy is something. He's smart. I'm going to put him in charge of my whole household. He brings him from out back in North 40. He brings him past the barn and right up into the house. Lets him handle all of his personal finances. That's getting tight. He don't even check the balance on his checkbook. Joe does. He doesn't worry about his animals. Joe does. He doesn't worry about cleaning the house and prepare meals. Joe does. Joseph has been given a gift to be able to discern things, move things around, and he's really industrious. And it's second nature to him. And the woman sees Joseph and says, huh, I wonder if they'll think he's so great once he's been with me. You know the story. We're not going to spend long there. She tempts him. And Joseph says, oh, no. Not happening. And the woman lies. You say, how do you know? Because if it had been true, they would have killed Joseph. So Potiphar said, I'm going to put him in prison. You say, why? He didn't want to sleep on the couch. He knows what happens if he says that she's a liar, but everybody knows she's a liar. Could you throw me a bump or something?
Amen.
But guess what? Joseph's in the perfect will of God. He's doing exactly what God said to do. And now he can't even control his own destination. He ain't making no choices. Joseph, would you rather stay here or go to prison? Rather stay here or go to the pit? Rather, Joseph, what would you like to do? He is completely out of control. In the big picture, he's in God's hand. But we forget the big picture sometimes, don't we? Who would have ever thought Joseph going to prison would be exactly where the Lord wanted him so he'd be close to the palace when the time came for him to come talk to Pharaoh? We wouldn't have seen that. I wouldn't have seen that. I'd been like, well, you put me in prison. I ain't done nothing wrong. I'd be going to the law library and filling out all kind of appeals. I'd be character assassinating that woman. God's using that woman to put Joseph where he needs him. It's hard to imagine sometimes when the Lord allows false accusations, it's God just putting you right where he needs you. You say, why? Because we all get them. They all know the motive of your heart. They're just jealous. Envious. Working so hard to cut that pedestal out from underneath you. So you come down like Humpty Dumpty. Instead of going, hey, praise the Lord, somebody's doing something.
Amen.
It's to give Him glory, not you.
Yeah.
But we got to hurry. I got to go all the way to Revelation today. And we're only in Genesis. Preacher, if this is what happens when you go away to preach, you need to dial it back a little bit. So now he's off to prison. Don't be surprised that even though you're not doing anything wrong, that you wound up bound up. Did you hear that? Wound up. Bound up. You say, why? Somebody else's words bound him up and put him in jail. He's in lock up. I'm going to insert this quietly and careful. Be oh so careful with your texts, your emails, your social media. And lest I throw off on all those that have wake book or fake book or whatever, rake book, all the funny names for it, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. I've seen people do it without the use of their fingers. I've watched them do it with their tongue. And they never would think of having social media. Not me. But boy, they can get on the phone. And they can bind you up to your past.
Amen.
And we forget the big picture. He's in prison now. You with me? He's in bondage. Could you show me where he did wrong? He's like the Lord. Where did the Lord do wrong? They nailed him to the cross. Where did Paul do wrong? He wound up getting his head cut off. What did Peter do? Legend says, crucified upside down. Don't know if it's true. Does sound like Peter, though. John the Baptist, head cut off. James, head cut off. I mean, it looks like everywhere they're going, they're doing right, but there's a price to pay. But here's the interesting thing. Oftentimes, we fall out with each other. That's the beginning, the crux, the root of a multitude of problems. Because if we go back to the beginning of the story, if he hadn't had aught with his brother, he wouldn't have wound up in the pit. Potiphar's house. Or in the prison, but he wouldn't have wound up in the palace. I bet you, after he got to the palace, and he saw God's way of having him ascend to that position, I bet you then it was like, oh, man, I'm glad my brothers hated me. Man, I'm glad they threw me in the pit. Glad the Midianites came by and bought me out of that pit. Never been so grateful to see slave traders in my life, but sure am glad they came by. It wasn't too bad in Potiphar's house, except when that thing happened over there. And then I wound up in prison. And man, I got to be honest with you. I thought it was bad until one day, he said, right over here next door, the king needs somebody to give him some advice. And we heard you know how to interpret dreams. And Joseph said, no. Wait a minute now. Now watch. I promise you, I'm almost done. Watch. The tendency would be is, the king said, you know how to interpret dreams. You're right, I do. Joseph, in spite of what he could have been, which would be very bitter, because of all that happened, like, where's the Lord God of Elijah kind of thing, right? But here's what he said. No. The God whom I serve, the one that I'm in service to. Wait. Hold on a second here, Joe. You've got to be kidding me. You call this service? Are you mentally retarded? Your brothers are against you. You wind up in a pit. Your circumstances are bad. And now you're over here. You're falsely accused over there. Some of us kind of think maybe you might have done something a little close to the heads there. But nonetheless, you wound up from there down into prison. And you're saying the God whom you serve, that's how God treats you? Yes, when He has the bigger picture.
Amen.
He sends His own Son to a cross when He has the bigger picture. Oh, for a glimpse at the bigger picture. We live in a day and time where it's become so much about what's going to happen to the United States of America. All the nations are nothing. They're as a drop in the bucket. On second thought, they're less than nothing. What's going to happen to the USA? Enjoy it while you can. But eventually, if your Bible's right, guess what? You're going to be an all scouring. You're going to be misplaced, replaced, and displaced. And you know what some of you are going to do? How could God? I've been so faithful all these years. How could He let this happen to me? Well, His Son was faithful for 29 and a half years. And then He wound up serving Him full out, full bore all the whole time and wound up on a cross. Where did you get the idea that it should be any different for us? We're still in the book of Genesis. Are you beginning to see the picture where Joseph, now he's grown up, he's the Pharaoh, he's in charge. They've been lying to him. And guess what happens? They won't take the counsel, even from the king. You know what the part of the problem with the brothers is? We have to learn delight in the counsel of those that are over us. Joseph's brothers didn't like it. They had yet to learn the lesson. So Joseph thought an easy way to teach him was, I'm going to keep your brother with me. Oh no, don't you be keeping Ben over here. Oh yeah, I'm going to keep his favorite. I'm going to send a message, a shot across the bow. And y'all are going to learn to trust that when God tells me something, it's the truth. And they go back and they're all forlorn. And Jacob, he is tore slap out of the frame. But Joseph's careful not to get conceited at his rise to popularity. I mean, he gets Pharaoh's daughter. He gets a gold chain around his neck with the emblem of Pharaoh. And he gets this. Imagine if you were an Egyptian. If you were in charge of all this. Can you imagine this? The guy says, here's a misfit Jew, a vagabond who started off in a pit, and he's going to be in charge of everything. Oh man, what happened to the political cowtown and climbing the political rung when he just steps in and says, I'm appointing him? All those people that have been trying to brown nose their way, that's a bad way to say that. All those people who have been trying to elevate themselves by politicking and getting to know people and this and that and the other and pulling all the games and pulling all the shams and talking about the other ones and this and that and the other. They find every one of themselves pass by and he says, Joseph's going to do it. What? He's not even one of us. Yeah, but I like him. And what's more, the God he has likes him. We're going to go with him. Joe, you're the man. Joseph's not like, well, appreciate that. About time. Recognize me. You know, I started in a pit with a colored coat. My daddy always favored me. Told them boys one day they was going to bow down to me. Told them God was going to use me in a special way. About time the world caught up with how great I am. They wrote a song about me. Y'all can sing it to me anytime you want. Because sometimes we think we're ahead of where we're supposed to be. Sometimes at work we try to elevate ourselves quicker than the process allows it to take place. And sometimes possessing that position before there's been preparation can lead to a bad downfall. Joseph didn't promote himself. If he did, he sure had a funny way of doing it. Would you like that form of promotion? Makes me nauseated. There wasn't no social promotion. He wasn't a socialite. He just did what the Lord said to do wherever he was at. He never said, I know what God's doing with me. I'm sure he had moments he's down there thinking, well, ain't much I can do about this. Lord, what about the promises? Must have been a nightmare, I guess. I don't know. How are we doing on time? Okay, give me just a minute or two. Is this making sense to you at all? You see, the perception of the modern Christian is that this shouldn't happen, but we forget the big picture. Did you realize even the wife that you've been given, that God can use her to teach you things about yourself and your relationship with Him that nobody else will show you? Man, did you realize your husband can be used of the Lord to teach you the same thing? Miss Barbara, your husband's gone, so it don't do no good for you to say amen. I'm looking for some married women to go.
Amen.
We're almost done. Joseph has got his brethren there and they don't recognize him. Bitterness and envy can weave a curtain impossible to see through. They couldn't see their salvation was right in front of them. Of all times, they could have played the brother card. The Lord's let them be blind. If the Lord blinds somebody, that's one thing, but don't be guilty of poking their eyes out. You know how the whole story goes. After they finally have the grand reunion, have a big feast there, and they eat till they're about to pop, they finally come around and say, Joseph, you know, we really messed up, man. Joseph's been through what the old preacher used to call God's spanking machine now. God's preparation. He never at one time rode off in a full gallop. Steady plodding along. God elevated him. And when the brothers finally came and he finally had his foot on their neck if he wanted it, you know what he said? Y'all meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. We're good, man. Come on, give your brother some sugar. Come on, hug me. Let me set my crown aside. Let me set my royal robes aside. Let me tell you that you actually were doing me a favor. None of us knew it because we lost sight of the big picture. But God said, hey, I waited for the famine to come. Now's the time to put Joseph in the spot. If he'd have done it early, it would have been too soon and the plan would have failed. Yeah. Timing becomes important, imperative to being at the right place at the right time under God's direction, and God's provision will take care. But the right provision at the wrong time is just as dangerous as no provision.
Amen.
Amen.
Y'all meant it for evil. God meant it for good. I'm good. Y'all didn't do nothing to me. You know what he's saying? God just used y'all like a rag in his back pocket to do what he needed done, and he couldn't get me over here any other way. I had to come through the ranks. So I came through the pit, down below the dirt, and I went up to the house, and I went back down into the prison before they ever put me into the palace. Boys, it's okay, man. Y'all hungry? They said, well, matter of fact, we've been eating nothing but cornbread. There ain't no flour around. Joseph said, oh, well, we got steak. We've been putting some fat cows up. Y'all want some steak? Well, we kind of prefer, well, we cowboys over here, y'all sheep herders. Two different things, two different kinds of meat. You ever had a steak before? No. Lord, I think I'm going to start raising me some cow. Yeah, Lot had that problem. We better stop right there. Better stick with the sheep. Now watch him. We're done. He's getting ready to send all the brothers back. And of all the things he could say, see that you fall not out. How? By the way. Do you see why now? Because the big picture is, hey boys, the tendency is going to be to start picking at each other about little things. Little things are for little minds and littler people.
Amen.
The old preacher said one time, when the minnows start biting, get your eyes on the sharks. Quit worrying about the minnows. And then you won't feel the bites of the minnows. That's a simplistic way of saying to a preacher, hey, you keep your eyes on the big things, and the little things won't bother you. I find in my life, when the little things start bothering me, I find it's because I've got my eyes off the big picture. The next thing you know what happens? I'm in a mess. A lot of times of my own doing. So here's the big picture. I don't know what God's doing in your life. I know He's doing something if you're saved. He ain't done with you. Stop letting Him be done with you. Stop throwing up them walls and I'm done. I'm through. I'm finished. I'm out. I quit. Okay, you know what you're saying? I must be perfect. Just take me now in all my glory. I was like, you got one of them funny house mirrors. How would you dare say to your Creator, you're ready to be gone? Have you lost your mind? Take off that coat of many colors this morning and look what's underneath. Oh. A preacher told me one time, he said, you know, oftentimes people spend a whole lot of time looking at everybody else for all the evil they can find, and they miss the evil that is closest to them in the recesses of their own heart. Because they're so busy. He's got a coat of many colors. Daddy likes him more than he likes me. Why does Daddy let him do that and he doesn't let me do that? Little fair-haired boy. Little political somebody. Why does Daddy let him do that? And instead of saying, hey, you know what? He gets that and all the responsibility that goes with it. I don't really want that. So guess what? He can do whatever. And being happy. No, you know what happens? He's letting what's going on with somebody else ruin his life. He can't be happy. He's got Martha syndrome. Unless Daddy feels about Joseph the way he feels about Joseph. Do you see what just happened? You just elevated yourself into the Trinity. You're telling God, this is how you ought to feel about that person. Because I feel that way. And I expect to be vindicated too. Okay. Pardon me, there are gods among us, but you want them little ones. See? Forgot the big picture, didn't we? What's he trying to do? He's trying to make us better so we can help others get there.
Amen.
He's trying to make us better so that you can learn to witness to people that don't have what you got.
Amen.
But you're too busy looking at what everybody that's in here that already has it is doing than to look at people that don't even have it. And I know why. Because they have an excuse. They're lost. People in here are saved, so they're easier to pick on. That's a lousy cheap shot. You say, well, we're saved and we hate to tell you, ain't none of us perfect. Not none. Not one. And if you think you are, you one of us nuns. Nuns in the Bible. None good, none righteous, none seeketh after God. So here's the thing. I'm not even going to give an invitation today. Just could you pause for a minute and check yourself to see whether or not you've lost sight of the big picture? So easy to let those circumstances surround us and all we can see is the walls of the cave. We can't see the slave traders. We can't see the false accusations in Potiphar's house. We can't see being put down in the prisoners with all the people that deserve to be there. Isn't that an oxymoron? What are you? I'm an elevated prisoner. But I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'll close with this. The Apostle Paul makes that statement in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. What he says to you is that he suffers and he does all these things. He said, therefore I rejoice. You know what Paul says? He says, listen, we're in here, Silas, in Acts 16. I'm not a prisoner of Rome. When I got saved, I became a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He can do with me what He Johnny well pleases.
Amen.
I want to get there. You want to know? People say, preacher, can we pray for you? Pray I get like Paul. Where I get to the point where I say I surrender all. I mean, I'm talking my will, my way, my reputation, my ministry, my family, everything. Listen, the material things, a whole lot easier than your reputation. That's pretty hard, ain't it? Come on, sis, help me a little bit. It is hard, ain't it? That right, treasure? It's hard. I surrender all, but Lord, don't take that. Lord, here's my Isaac, but I know you're not wanting it. He didn't want Isaac, he wanted Abraham. I know it's no verse of the song, but the fact of the matter is that Abraham didn't know Isaac was coming back. Oh, well, he believed the resurrection and all that kind of stuff. Oh, okay, great. I realize. I know what's in Hebrews 11. I know. I got it. I understand. He believed in a resurrection. You think that was going to make it easy for him to plunge that knife in that boy's heart? You know what's represented laying there on that thing? Something that got between him and God. You say, why? Because he didn't love him? No, because he didn't fear him. That's what he said. Now I know thou what? Fearest me. You know what happens? You lose your fear of God. And then all of a sudden, you start griping about the position you're in. You're being laughed at and talked about. You're down in prison, being sold out. Nobody comes to his aid. He's in a room full of people. Don't even know him. No Jews there. No Hebrews around him. Nothing. None of that stuff's around. That's long before Jews. It's Hebrews back there. And then so he comes along there, and the Hebrews that are, none of them that are there, they're outcasts. He's in an Egyptian prison. Nobody but him and God. The Lord puts him through all that. You say, what is that? It's what the Lord does, prepare you for promotion. How many times has it been said, the way down, the way up is down? But nobody likes that down. So you want to know what to pray for me? You pray this. Lord, grant him his wish that he can surrender all.
Amen.
I'd like to be like Paul. We glory in tribulation. See, tribulation ain't just physical pain. It ain't just some kind of disease. For me, disease is easier to handle than people. The more I know about people, the more I wonder, how can he love his creation? He's biased. Prejudice. The more I know about people, I'm like, how can he love people? When I look at me, I'm thinking, how can he love me when I'm honest? Now, there's other days I'm kind of like, well, you know, kind of see what he sees in me there a little bit, you know. To God be the glory. To God be the glory, you know. Yeah, I lost a couple pounds, Lord. I'm doing pretty good. Just take a good look, sonny. You see, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks upon the... What you thinking, big boy? You think you can do this without me? I don't know what your test is today, but I know this. When that test comes, you know what can happen? Lose sight of the big picture. Lose the baby. Lose sight of the big picture. Lose a loved one. Lose a spouse. Boy, that's a hard one. That's a tough one. If you don't see the big picture. God uses those things along the way to answer prayers that we pray sometimes so carelessly. Lord, do whatever you need to do to me to get other people to come. And the sanctuary gets filled up with people. And it's like, well, I didn't mean that. Almost done, Jedediah. I promise. Just give me a second. Miss Tara gets you if you don't be careful. Is it making any sense at all? I wish I, not that I wasn't taught the lesson, I wish I had learned the lesson 60 years ago. That my life is not my own. I'm bought with a price. And the amount of my yieldedness to Him is when He does something that I don't like, and that I don't think I deserve. You ever had that happen to you? And you find out whether or not you're really sold out. When you don't get the recognition or the appreciation, you don't get the promotion, you don't get, and you're doing everything right. And everybody else, they just jump in the chain. And the Lord just seemed to have you stalled out. Oh, but in the big picture, He's waiting for the right time. Moving you into the right spot. So that when the promotion comes, the Lord says, now's the time, boy. Now's the time, young lady. Now's the time. I don't know. There may be a Moses in here among us. There might be a Joshua. There might be a Timothy. There might be a Paul. I don't know. You say, what? They just hadn't. Timing ain't right yet. I hope that helps you. Now you know why. You say, what happened? Because what can happen is we can get distracted by what goes on among us.
Yes, sir.
Instead of the big picture. So easy. Looks like an eye, don't it? And gets right there, you know what? Hard to see anything else. Because I get in the way. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, thank you for your many blessings, for how good you've been to us, for how patient you've been with us. Thank you, Lord, for the toleration of these folks here today to be willing to wait and be patient while I finish the message this morning. Help us to look forward to the day when we get to divide up the spoil that we have at the judgment seat of Christ, if we'll be patient and let you do with us what you call in your word, your perfect work in us. Help us, Lord, to be willing to lay down on the table and surrender our will to your will and allow you to do whatever you want to do in our life. Help us not to lose sight of the big picture, not to be distracted by the things that can distract us, as you so aptly put it in the Bible. Help all of us, Lord. There is no one in here that has not been a victim to the things that are in the passages. Help us, Lord, that our bitterness and anger and wrath and malice doesn't occlude your vision of us, and help us to be able to see you clearly in spite of the storm clouds. Please bless this day. Bless all the meetings that are going to occur today, all the young'uns that are getting together, the choirs that are singing and practicing, and all the things that have to be done in between time. Bless the lunch time that we sit down and gather together, Lord, and help us, if you would, please, to come back this evening so you might be able to help us again. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.